Bibles this morning to John the 14th chapter. John the 14th chapter 1 through 6. You know this passage of scripture by heart, just about it, or should. Jesus tells his disciples he was about to go back to heaven and leave them. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," what a promise. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus Christ said this passage, "I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." I want us to think about that passage of Scripture, especially that last one. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father by me." Now, even though that's what I preach at a lot of funerals, don't think this is a dead service. I want it to be alive. I want the Holy Spirit just to move into this place and touch our hearts at the point of our needs, at where we might be this morning in life. And if you're not saved this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict your heart that you need to get right before God before you pass on out into eternity, because if you pass on into eternity without Christ, you're in a world of hurt. You need Christ in your life. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your precious word. The word has life. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Let us open up our hearts to you that we might understand. And God, move through this service in a mighty way. Touch each and every heart, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, when I'm thinking of a way, today we have these things in our cars called GPS. Isn't that what they're called? I think so. They'll tell you how to get to just about any spot. I was going to Arlington not long back, and I put in the store's place where I was going, and it went that way, all the way to Waxahachie, and then up. It went that way, all the way out to 175 and up. And when it got to Dallas, it went one way to 30 and across. The other way, it went around the loop. You know, I was so confused. Man, which way to go? How in the world am I going to get there following all of this? I ended up just going where I knew which way was the right way. Some people follow those things. You know, when I first got our car, we had this thing in there, and we was going to find our way to the house. Well, it dropped me off at Ryan's. Where's Ryan? He lives two blocks short of me, or two houses down. I said, "What kind of deal is this? This thing don't even know where I live." That's the way some people think. You see, when we're going to a destination, there's a lot of different ways which can be taken. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. There's a lot of things out there to tell you different ways that you can be a Christian. And Jesus says there's only one way that's right. You see, there's one way to get to where Jesus Christ is. There's one way to that perfect place called heaven. There's one way to eternal life this morning. And you must be on that way, or you're going to miss that way. You know, if I was going to London, that makes it a lot easier. I've got to take either a plane or a boat. You can't drive over there. So that gives you down to two choices, plane or boat. Now, if you're going to heaven, there's only one choice that you can make it there. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. I'm not one off several different ways, but I'm the only way that you're going to get to heaven. You see, if you need a, let's just say if I needed a loan for a new car, I don't need a loan for a new car, but if I did, time my truck gets fixed, I may need a loan. But you know, if I need a loan for a new car, I would go to the bank. Wouldn't you? To get that loan. It'd be silly to come, you know, and ask the church to buy you a car. You can't do that. We can't float loans out there. But you'd go to the proper channel. And if you needed to buy that car, you certainly would not go find that car at the grocery store. You would go to a car dealership to get that car that you needed. Well, to have eternal life, you must go to Jesus Christ. He's the only way. There are some needs that you and I have that only Jesus Christ can provide in our life. And if we're looking elsewhere, he says, stop looking. I am the way. Now, first, he's the way out. Did you know that we're under the bondage of sin? All have sinned and come short, the Bible says, of the glory of God. When you're born, you have a sinful nature. You're born with that. Those little innocent babies, how cute they are, but they grow up. And they're selfish. You know, you give one of them a toy, and then you give the other one a toy, and I'll guarantee you it won't be long till they're fighting, because they both want all the toys. They're selfish. We have that old selfish desire in our life, and we grow up, and if we're not careful, without Christ, we're going to be real greedy in our life. We're going to be real selfish in our life. That sin, by our nature, we are sinners. Not only that, by our practices, we are sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We want to do right sometimes. I have people say, well, preacher, you think that my friend will go to heaven? He was a good guy. He was a good guy. He was a good father to his children. He was a good husband to his wife. He was just a good son to his mother and daddy. He was so good a guy, he would do anything for you. He would give you the shirt off his back. I'd say, did he accept Christ as his Lord and Savior? Well, no, he didn't like to do that. He didn't want to go to church. Well, Jesus Christ saying, being good to all of them, being a good father, being a good husband, being a good child, it will not get you to heaven. It might help you in your relationship to your parents and to your family, but it doesn't do a thing for your relationship to Jesus Christ. I see parents all the time with little young children, and I want to say, hey, do you want those children to have the best in life? And of course, every parent will say, well, sure. And I say, well, carry them to church and give them Jesus Christ. That's the greatest heritage you can leave those children. And they say, oh, well, we don't go to church. Well, you know, they don't really want the best for their child then. For their best, they would take that child to church and teach that child about Jesus Christ, because he's the only way that they're going to find true happiness and true peace in their life. I heard this week, I didn't know the young guy, but he's some kind of rapper or something like it, not a paper rapper. One of these guys that make music, or they call that music nowadays. He died at the age of 26 of a drug overdose. Wasn't happy in his life. Wasn't happy at all. He had to turn to drugs to find happiness and peace of mind. 26 years old in his life, is gone. It's wasted. He could have had eternal life and lived for Christ and enjoyed life and had true happiness. But evidently he didn't, or nobody told him about Christ. And I thought to myself, what a shame to have a young life and it's just wasted. But that's what we do many times. We waste our life. Not only do we have to be young people, we have older people that have wasted their whole life because they haven't trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've gone to church, but that doesn't save you. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ. But you see, we're sinners, and we're sinners by our choice that we make. Did you know that Jesus Christ came to man and he lived a sinless life and he helped people, and yet we reject him? We reject him today. We reject him. I heard just the other day on television, some guy said, I don't believe in God. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you're just showing how foolish you are by saying that. But we are in a world of sinful ways, and we live in a world of sinfulness out there. It's out there in every place we go. No matter where we go, we're faced with a sin in our lives. And so many people are sinners by the choices that they make. I like what the Bible says in Psalm 42 and 3. He said, I was stuck in the miry pit, and the only way out was Jesus Christ. He picked me up out of that miry pit. Let me tell you something. I have been stuck in pretty good mud. Y'all probably don't know what it is to be country, but most of you come from the city. But where we grew up, you'd walk out in the mud in the bar pits, and your old boots would sink down in that mud, and every once in a while, you couldn't get it out. The suction of that mud was so heavy, it would pull your shoe off. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. The psalmist says, I was like in a miry pit, stuck. Couldn't go anywhere. And the only way out was Jesus Christ. He pulled me out of that miry pit. Now, how many miry pits do we have in life? Some of us are in the miry pit of selfishness. Some of us in the miry pit of wealth. Some of us in the miry pit of drugs. There's all kinds of miry pits out there that people get stuck in. And the only way they can get out of those things is through Jesus Christ. He's the one that can pull us out of that miry pit. Listen to what he says. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings in and out, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to the Lord. But Jesus Christ is the only way out for us today. Man, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're sinful creatures by nature. We're sinful creatures by the practice, and we're sinful creatures by the choices that we make. And the only way that we'll ever get out of that, Jesus says, is through him. I am the way. Not just a way, or not one of the ways. He is the only way that we can go to heaven today. He's the only way that we can have joy today in our life. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, he says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see? So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you're stuck in that old miry pit of being lost. Jesus Christ wants you to come out of that pit and set your feet upon a solid rock and change your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to change your life. Some of you don't like change, I know, but this is a change, oh, for the better. You see, it's for eternal life. Not only that, Jesus Christ is not only the way out, he's the way through. When Jesus Christ led the children out of the wilderness in the Exodus, when Israel left Egypt, they started out through the journey in the wilderness. God was with them. By day, it was a cloud. By night, it was a pillar of fire. And he led them in that wilderness wandering. When he moved, they moved. When he stayed still, they stayed still. But Jesus Christ led them every step of the way. Now, over in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is pictured as the rock. The rock. And that solid rock for our lives. And we follow Jesus Christ one day at a time, one way at a time. Every step of the way, Jesus Christ wants to lead us through this life to a better life. What a consolation to know that we're on the road that leads to eternal life. We're following the true way. We're following Jesus Christ in our life. We used to sing a song, "Each step I take, my Savior goes before me." That's the way he wants us to go. Each step I take, the Savior leads the way. He's the true way. He's the way out. Out of all the sin, all the sorrow, he wants to lead us each step of the way. Now, who are you following this morning? The Bible says we're either following the Lord or we're following the way of Satan. You can't have them both, folks. You've got to choose in your life. He's not only the way out, he's the way through, and he's the way in. In the Old Testament, I love this story. I've preached on it many times. God says, "Noah, I want you to build an ark. It's going to rain. It's going to flood for 40 days, 40 nights. It's going to literally come down. Noah, you build an ark." And while Noah was building that ark, you know what he did? He was preaching the word of God. He was telling people about God's coming, about the flood that's going to happen. They laughed on Noah. They laughed and said, "That's a foolish man. What are you doing? It hasn't rained like this." It didn't rain at that time. "It hasn't come a flood like that. You're crazy." They probably said, "Old dumb Noah's over there building all that big old boat on dry land. I wonder how he's going to get it to water. I bet he hasn't thought of that." Well, he had thought of that. God told him what was going to happen. You know what? He believed God each step of the way. He followed God. The ark had one door. And the Bible says when time came, God said, "Noah, get all the animals in." God sent them his way. He said, "Noah, you get you and your family in that ark." And the Bible says God shut the door. That door could not be opened. When God shut the door, he shut the door. It wasn't locked on the inside. God locked it on the outside. And let me tell you something. When the floods came, it was too late for those that had laughed at old Noah, that had rejected the Lord, his word. It was too late for them. They were under the judgment of God. One day, God says, "I am coming back." And I believe with all my heart he's coming back, folks. He said he would. He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again." You see, Jesus Christ says, "I am the door into life." I love it when he says over in John, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they know me." He's the door to life. Jesus Christ is not only the door to life, Jesus is the door to happiness. In our society, everybody seems to be seeking happiness, but they're seeking it in the wrong places. Jesus says, "I am the way to happiness." You see, follow me. He is the door to that fellowship that we need with the Father and the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you have that in your life this morning? Jesus Christ says, I am the way into that kind of life. He is the way into victory that we have. I love that old Baptist hymnal, O Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Folks, that's the way he gives us life. He leads us to victory. He leads us away from that defeated life. I was thinking the other day, only if somebody had told that young man about Jesus Christ, only probably if his parents had taken him to church when he's a young boy and told him he learned about Jesus, he wouldn't have been so miserable. He wouldn't have been on those drugs. If he had made the right choices in Christ. But so many take the wrong road. Jesus says there's a way that's broad, and many are on that road traveling to destruction. The way to life is that narrow road, and we must be on that road to have eternal life. How true are the words of the song, The Nail-Scarred Hand. Have you failed in your life or in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you willing to walk through the world? Man, let me tell you something. There's all kinds of mountains out there we've got to climb. There's all kinds of valleys out there that we got to walk through. But Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Boy, I tell you what, when the world stands behind you and they say, we'll never leave you, you better watch out. The first sign of trouble, your friends are gone. If you walk with Christ, he says, I will be with you. Through thick and thin, Christ will guide you. That old song says, is your soul burdened down with its load of sin? Simply place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Throw your heart open wide, let the Savior in. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Jesus is the way through. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the way in. Have you trusted him this morning with your life? Have you given your heart to God this morning? Are you having trouble? Are you stuck in the miry clay? You know, miry clay pits are all kinds of things in life. Whatever we put before God becomes, I believe, a miry pit. And so many are stuck in those miry pits, and they need to get out. Well, Jesus is not only the way in, he's the way up. He told his disciples here about heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's heaven. And I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And it comes down to Thomas, and he says, Lord, how can we know where you're going? How can we know the way? He says simply, I am the way. You follow me with your life. You give me your life, and I will give you eternal life in heaven. Now, you know, whether it's a privilege or not, I've been pastor of a lot of people, and I tell you what, we all die. We all die. Unless Jesus Christ comes back in the rapture, soon we're going to all die. We're going to pass that way of death. There was a little old lady that I got to know real good while we was in Tyler. Her husband came over here many times to see me while we were here. His name was Otis Bedingfield. His wife was, I can't think of her name now, Beth Bedingfield. Beth was a little short lady with just a great spirit about her. She loved the Lord. Beth died of cancer. She was one of the singers in the quartet. We gathered around, me and Rhonda, I think, and JT. JT was another one of the singers, a great little man of the Lord, big man of the Lord, rather. He's a pretty good size. And Beth, we gathered around her bed before she died. And she said, you know what? Let's sing one more song. And we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, she loved that song. I once was lost, but she said, I'm now found. I was blind, but now I see. She wasn't worried about death. She wasn't worried what cancer was doing to her body. She wasn't worried. She wasn't feared. You know, I have stood at the bed of some people, and they go out screaming and hollering, I'm dying. And then I stood at those beds where they loved the Lord, where they had served the Lord, and they had no fear of death because death had lost its sting. It had no grip on them anymore. She just simply closed her eyes and passed from this life to the other life. Man, that's a way to go, isn't it? What a way to go. Not worried about death. Doc's here today. Her husband, Ben, we were down there. When he passed, she told me, and she'd tell you, that Ben raised his hands and looked up and said, I see the church coming. I see the church coming. And she said, yeah, they'll be out soon. Some of them will be down by here. And he said, no, I see the church coming. I believe he saw the angels of heaven coming for him. Oh, what a way to go. Not worried about death, because they had life, eternal life. Praise God, we're going home one day. Do you have that kind of peace? Do you have that kind of assurance? If you found out today that you were going to die, what would you do? I hope and pray that you'd know you have Christ in your heart, that you would thank God, praise God, that you're going home. This life down here is not home. This life down here is full of sin. It's full of hurt. It's full of pain. It's full of sorrow. But your heavenly home, John says, and I saw no more sea, no more sickness, no more dying there. Just praising God, giving God the glory for everything. That's the way we ought to live our lives. That's the way we ought to die, in Christ. He is the way out. He is the way through. He's the way in, and He is the way up. Do you know Him this morning? If you don't know Him this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the front and say, listen, preacher, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want Him to pull me out of that miry pit and set my feet on the solid rock. He will do that. If you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home, would you come? I'll be willing to share with you how you can join this church. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, form, or fashion. Just pray with you. If you're here this morning and you are a member of this church and you know your life hasn't been doing right with God, why don't you just come and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, this morning I want to commit myself again, afresh and anew, to walk through this world with you as my guide. I guarantee you, He'll give you that newness of life. He'll forgive you. You know what it says in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning as we make decisions one way or the other, whether we follow you or whether we reject you, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. And if there's someone here that needs to come to you, that needs to make a decision, they won't let the devil have the victory. They'll step out and come. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.